I'm trying to think of some other names I can call you, but, I understand. So anyway, I know that you wanted to listen to Michael, so Michael, thank you for playing for us, brother. We love you. Thank you.
It's been a while since I've done a special. I'm going to move over here. I've learned a lot of different styles of playing for you guys over the past year and almost 5 months. And this is kind of a culmination of this arrangement. You guys have heard parts of this before, but this arrangement has several different little sections in it. So if you guys like it, it's amazing grace.
Thank you.
You know, Michael, that was beautiful. You know, back in the day, I played the guitar just like that.
Which day?
Why is that funny? I used to play the guitar. Didn't I used to play the guitar? I used to pick the guitar, that's right.
There's a difference between picking out
like Michael.
Tell me everything I know.
You learning, aren't you? Yeah. Give Michael one more hand of applause. Yes, Bill.
I just want to let everybody know that if anybody needs envelopes, I've still got some more envelope boxes back here.
Okay. Did y'all hear that? If you still need offering envelopes, just see Bill. He'll make sure that you get those. All right. Thank you, Miss Monica. Well, it's been an interesting week for me. I've been in a hospital. I know, but I didn't make a big public thing about it. Last Sunday night, about 7 o'clock, I got to throwing up. And usually, once you throw up, you feel better. I didn't feel better than that. I just kept throwing up. About an hour and a half, the room started turning, getting weaker by the minute. So I told Monica, and of course, you know, she kept saying, I think I need to call 911. Finally, I gave in. I said, yeah, I think maybe it's what you need to do. Well, this is when the party started. Now, we live in Bullitt County. So, about 45 minutes, you're going to the ambulance. And, pulled in two big old boys. I'm talking about made me look tiny. Big. And they came in, I'm sitting in my recliner, and they said, Mr. Hodge, how are you feeling? I said, don't feel good. Well, you think you need to go to the hospital? I said, no, I just needed some company. Sometimes if you need company, you call 911 and talk to me. And I said, yeah, I think I need to go to the hospital. So, well, let us go get the stretcher. I said, all right, go and get it. So anyway, 20 minutes later, they come back in with the stretcher. And they're going to put me in it. I said, no, I think I can get in it. No, let us help you. One got my legs. The other got my shoulders. Bounced on that stretcher. They said, how are you feeling now? I said, well, I feel okay. I got a broken back now. I'm going to be good. Man, I don't want to say anything too nasty. These guys are going to save my life. You know what I'm saying? So if you remember last Sunday night, it was pretty cold. Of course, they strapped me in. My wife said, can I put a coat on it? No, it's warm out in the ambulance.
So
they put this little seat on it. Now, my house has got several steps. Now, you can't make this up, but as this is going on, my part of my comedic brain is working. So the one guy takes one step and the other guy's up here, so now I'm like this. And I said, Mr. Hodge, if we lose you, we'll make sure we get you back on the stretcher. I'm strapped in. How they gonna lose me? Okay? I said, hey, you know, guys, I'm just along for the ride. Okay? Whatever. You know. So they get me. Now, if any of you have been in an ambulance of lately, you know, they got to get that ambulance in there.
Yeah.
And you know, they got to, you know, they, those legs are supposed to, like, flip up. Everybody with me so far? I'm going to move your head here now. All right? So they go to push them. Them legs didn't do nothing. I said, we got to push harder. So now they're going to get into it because one of them forgot to do something. Well, why didn't, what's wrong with that length up there? Why isn't it going down now there beside me? Now it's about zero outside.
You got a sheet on.
Yeah, thank you, Larry.
It's all right.
They got all that worked out. Got me in there. Now, even though I've lost quite a bit of weight, I'm still a decent sized fellow. So, the biggest of the two decides to get back there with me. Now, we got the guy driving, so he gets back there with me. Now, if you've ever rode one of them, like, it's not a real big operation back there. And I mean, literally, this man was almost on top of me, breathing at me. And he said, Mr. Hodge, where do you want to go? I said, I want to go to the hospital. He said, and he sort of greeted like he knew, he sort of asked around. He said, which hospital do you want to go to? Now this guy is in my face and he's talking like I don't have no hearing. Which hospital do you want to go to, Mr. Hodge? I'm making this up. I said, Baptist East. Well, you know, that's a pretty far drive. Well, I'll pay you by the mile. I don't care. I'm dying. Just get me there. Be fine with me. So he said, well, we can take you somewhere else faster, but if you want to go to Baptist East, that's where we'll take you. What's up on the screen?
Nothing.
Okay, so I guess I need to talk some more. I need to get into my sermon here. I guess I need to talk some more. Get to Baptist East. And from there, I'll have to say I got pretty good care. After there, about 5 or 6 hours, they run me through all the tests. They finally gave me some medicine to stop throwing up, so I threw up 3 more times at Baptist East. They come at me and they basically said, you've got a gallbladder that's full of stones. But we don't think that's your issue. Well, Larry, I can tell funny stories for an hour, but I mean, at some point in time, you get that back on, that'd be all right.
I'm working.
He said, you got a gallbladder full of stones. But he said, I don't think that's your issue. I said, well, what's my issue? He said, I think it's food. I said, okay, what do you mean by that? He said, either you've been poisoned, or you've got food poison. He said, your stomach really reacted to something bad inside of you. I said, okay. So what do we do? He said, well, after we give you this medicine to stop you from throwing up, we're going to let you rest here for a few hours, make sure your vitals are okay, and then we're going to send you home. I said, you don't think I need to stay here? He said, yes, I do, but insurance won't pay for it.
Yeah.
I said, okay, this is America, I understand. So, anyway, they sent me up with a gallbladder doctor, and I got to go and see a gallbladder doctor.
Oh, man.
You know, you guys are really building me up one saying, oh, man. You know, everybody keeps telling me in the medical field that this is nothing.
We've been here.
That's right. They said they're going to put two little holes in me and suck it out. And that don't sound too bad to me. They may even keep me awake. Well, I say suck it out. If it's got stones in it. So has everybody here had a real good experience with gallbladder surgery? Raise your hand. I know, but they said don't let it get that bad. So anyway, at some point in time, I got to have my gallbladder taken out. And they said I might as well just go on and do it now. And Marshall will be able to say amen to this, because when I go to get tested for a kidney transplant, they will find it and make me do it before I have the transplant. Is that not right, Marshall? So Dr. Nassar said you might as well just go on and get out of there, because that's what's going to happen. When we get to talking about a transplant, they're going to want to get it out anyway before they even talk to you about a transplant. So somehow or another, whatever, maybe in the next 2 or 3 months, I'm going to have my gallbladder sucked out. So, anyway, but I'll be okay, won't I? Build me up a little bit, Brian. It's going to be okay, Brian. That's right. Brian says amen. Just don't get the thing sucked out. Anyway. So, That's right. All right, Brother Larry, what do you think?
About what?
That's what I thought, Larry. Yeah, boy, I'm trying to stay if I got around here, buddy. Here we go. You ready? Say amen.
Amen.
Is Jesus Lord of your life? Now look at the question here. How do you spend your what? Time. I've said many years. Understand this. If I was to ask you what is the most valued thing in your life, well, some of you would say God, although, you know, we got to be honest here. Maybe that is, maybe it's not. Some would say your money. Some would say your health. Some would say your children. Some might say your spouse. But if you really, really take a look at your life and dig a little deeper, the most precious time to you is your time. What do you spend it doing? Number one, obviously you're grateful to be alive. If you're working, you spend a lot of it at work, don't you? Huh? Amen?
Amen.
Right? And when you're home, you spend a lot of time, of course, sleeping at work. That's right, if you're home sometimes. And my wife, same way. Sometimes she works harder at home doing things she can't do at work. And then, of course, you know, I do stuff there at the house as well. Listen, you ain't lived until you see me behind a vacuum cleaner, people. Don't wait on me. Buddy, I know how to vacuum. That's right. I mean, this thing's self-propelled. I mean, buddy, I just plug it and let it go. Come back a couple hours later and it's done. Done right. Alright? Now, I'm not... And I wash on occasions. I don't touch Monica's clothes. I did that one time. That cost me about $500 on wardrobe. So we don't do that no more. So, but I do a little washing. I'm not bad dusting. But, you know, I don't lift up things. You know, if it's something on the table, I dust around it. That's what a man does. That's right. I ain't picking up no candle. I ain't picking up no lamp. I ain't going to do that kind of stuff because that gets into work. Now, I don't do the pledge thing and spread all that. That's the biggest waste of money. I got one of them feathers. You seen them feathers, haven't you? Oh, you ain't lived until you feathered your furniture and everything like that. You just take that thing and just do it. Dust goes everywhere, but there's no dust there. Give the Lord a hand of applause in his house. In the time the dust settles, Monica's back home, she don't see the dust. Alright? It's maybe somewhere else, but that's beside the point. Alright? And understand, when it comes to time is very precious to us. Because we really want to enjoy time. Whatever that is. Now, when we ask the question, is Jesus Lord of your life? Lord, capitalize. you really figure out real fast how to answer that when you look at how you spend your time. Now, time for the Lord is not this hour or 2 hours that we spend here, according to what time we get here. This is praise time. This is worship time. And obviously, you need to be here. And obviously, we need a church more people that understand Sunday morning is the place to be for Christian people to be where? At church.
Amen.
Now, it takes time to get here. It takes time to get ready. And then when you get here, you got to spend time. So what? I would rather spend a little time here and enjoy it and understanding how much eternity is going to be. Because if I can't take time out for God here at this house that belongs to Him, I ain't going to be spending much time at the other house called
that. Amen.
Does that make sense? If I can't give Him time here, what makes you think He's going to give me time there? This is practice for what's coming ahead. Now, I grew up being an athlete. I've been an athlete all of my life, except up for maybe 3 or 4 hours ago. Folks, you don't get to be an athlete in whatever you do unless you practice. You got to get in shape. I don't care what sport it is, even if it's golf. Okay? Even if it's golf, you got to practice. No matter what it is, you've got to practice before you can say you're good at what you do. Same way when we talk about heaven. We need to practice. This is called practice. We're here worshiping, spending time, giving God our time to be here among God's people who love Him, to worship and praise Him for an hour. And we can't get anybody here sometimes. Because time is precious. They either got to get up, and I should be able to sleep on it. Time. Everybody with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Let's look at some scripture. Alright, Larry, here we go. 1 Chronicles 16:1. Anytime you see the word seek, it means time. Because it takes time. If I've lost something, or if I need to find something, doesn't that take time? The older I get, the more I lose.
More time it takes to find it.
More. Well, thank you, Brother Chad. Yeah, because if you can't remember where you lost it, of course it is going to take more time to find it. Alright? So you seek that out. Look what it says here. Seek ye the Lord and His strength. Seek His face. What's that say?
Evermore.
Means evermore. Every day. Seek His face. Take time for God every day. Every day. This is not a Sunday thing. Although we do it a little different on Sunday, or some churches Saturday night, or whatever the case may be. When it's time to come for church, you need to be here. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Now, I want to address something real quick, because this has been asked me many times. People will make statements like this. If God is everywhere, I should be able to say that I can worship God at home as well as I can in church. I get that said to me a lot. Okay? Everybody with me? Has that ever been, have you ever said that to yourself? Or have you, anybody else ever said that to you? Well, let me address that. And this may be more from internet than maybe our own people, but still we need to address it. Why do you think it's important for some people to always come to church and for other people to never step through the doors of the church? Somewhere or another, somebody's not reading something right, are they? I mean, you felt compelled to come here today, didn't you? Hopefully you felt led by the Holy Spirit. And if you miss, I hope you feel guilty.
Amen.
I really do. I hope something's wrong with your week when you don't come to church. I do. I mean, I was even in church here last week and was in the hospital that night. Understand something. Can you, is God in your home?
I hope he is.
I hope his presence is there. But folks, his house is for a reason. The Bible says there's a good reason to come to God's house. All of us are individuals. Everybody here has got an individual social security card, a name. Nobody in here looks alike. We're all individual people that walk through the church today. All kinds of different past, all kinds of different things. We got babies here, we got old people here, we got people in between, we got everything here you can imagine. In this little congregation, it's well represented by all kinds of different people. Now, when I come here, and other people are here, we're supposed to react to each other, interact with each other. And it's called fellowship, and it's a real neat word, okay? We, if the church is in the right frame of mind, which means it's right spiritual, means we love people that come here. You know, we don't check people's IDs when they come in, and we don't say, no, you can't come in and go. You know, I don't have guards out here determining who comes in and who doesn't. You with me so far? If you come here, we're going to let you in. Even in the world we live today, with all the security issues we got today, we're going to let you in. Because that's what God says we're supposed to do. Now when we come for several things. But fellowship is one of them. Number one is to listen to the Word of God by whoever is telling you that. It could be a preacher, it could be a Sunday school teacher, it could be someone else giving you a testimony. Jim and I this morning had a very good conversation between two old ministers here this morning. We took about 15, 20 minutes with each other, built each other up, talked a little bit to each other about different things. I enjoyed it. It was my private time with Jim Crow. Okay? We're both getting older. May not have those times very much longer. Lord can come today. But you see, I had an opportunity because I was in God's house to be blessed by somebody else. I think he would say the same thing. When you come to God's house, you come here for a reason. That not only do you have fellowship and you listen to the Word of God, but you're blessed when you come to God's house. Amen. When it's a house filled with love, peace, and grace.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand. And again, God may be in your home. That's not for me to judge. But I tell you, I go back to the same thing. If you want to spend eternity in his house, you might not want to try his house while you're here on earth.
Amen.
I think somehow along there's a message there. See where it goes to you. Here we go. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen to that. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The meek shall hear thereof and be glad. Go ahead, Larry. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name. What's his name?
Together.
To me, if there's another name for church, it's called together. We're inside a building together right now. Understand that? So what do we do when we're together? We magnify the name of the Lord. We exalt, we praise him through music, through fellowship, through prayer, through God's word, through preaching. That's how we do it. I sought the Lord. Here we go again. And he answered me. Let me ask you something. You're never going to find something until you look for it. Boy, that was something to take home and think about today, wasn't it? Huh? Oh, sometimes I may accidentally find something. You know, I left something here. I found a $20 bill about a month ago in my pants pocket. Somehow or another, Monica thought it was hers. It was in my pants pocket. Who do you think got the money?
Uh-huh.
All right. All we care about is peace and quiet, Kevin. Okay. And $20 gives me peace and quiet. Ooh, let's go. All right, you know what I'm saying? You know, folks, if you don't look for something, you're not going to find it. If you're not seeking God, where is he? He can be right in front of you, but if you're not seeking him, you don't see it. He can talk to you in so many ways, and you still don't pay attention to him. I don't care what it is. It could be a dream. It could be your health. I mean, God got my attention Sunday night. He was talking to me. Hey, I'd never known I'd have had gallstones if I hadn't gone there. And then here, maybe sometime later on this year, I go to be tested for a transplant. And they say, well, no transplant for you right now, but you got gallstones. That's got to go first. Come back and see us after that stuff. Now I get to get that taken care of already. Now, at the time I was riding with Twiddly, I didn't maybe see a lot. Okay? I didn't maybe appreciate all that. My mouth opened up about 14 times. Maybe I didn't see that. But the end result was, they found out. I'm going to get it taken care of. It's one step getting me closer to a possible kidney transplant. Now, after it's all over with, and I look at it and say, thank you, Jesus. Everybody with me? Give a long round of applause. Will I seek thee? My soul is thirsty for thee. My flesh longs for thee. In a dry and weary land where no water is. Now, you see this dry and weary land? That's exactly what we're in the middle of right now.
Amen.
It couldn't get more dry, folks, spiritually, than it is around the world and even in this country. The other day, someone shared with me that when it looks at percentages, and you know, during election cycles and everything, everybody's all about percentages, they say now we can't call ourselves a Christian nation anymore. Because we're not the majority. Take that spill, Paul. Why is it? Well, we know the Bible says it's going to be a great what before he comes. It's falling away. For the first time, churches right now have less people in them in 50 years. Right after World War II, the church really grew a lot. Christianity. After Hitler and all that mess that this country was in, I mean, the world was at war with evil. The churches began to grow. Now evil's going to take on just a little bit more subtlety. And evil, if you're not careful, can outsmart you. And understand this. Watch what you watch. Watch what you listen to. Understand, Satan can come right through that computer, come right through that TV set, come right through that radio, come right through to your heart if you're not careful.
Amen.
I don't understand, and all I can do is speak for this country, because it's own country I know. I don't understand why people cannot see the grace of God anymore, other than the fact the Bible says that our eyes and hearts are going to be blinded one day. But let me tell you when the wake-up's going to come. When the trumpet sounds, you look over and your wife's gone, your husband's gone, your kids are gone, and you're still there, I promise you, you're going to wake up. What are you going to wake up to then? Why does it have to be that way? When God's amazing grace, as this young man Michael just played for us, why in the world can we not see that? I don't want God's judgment. I want His grace. Amen. But I won't get one or the other. One or the other is coming my way one day. He's going to either say, welcome home, or depart from me, I never knew you. And according to the Bible, there's going to be a lot more that says, depart from me, I never knew you, than to those who say, welcome home. Because He said, wide is the road that leads to destruction. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Understand, folks, 2016. I don't know how much longer this world will live. I don't know. Keep in mind, watch the Middle East. I tell you that, week after week after week, you watch Israel, you see what happens. And I promise you this, if this country don't figure out a way to get on Israel's side, God will not be on this country's side.
Amen. Amen. Everything's going to come your way. Everything's going to be perfect.
but it means you've made the decision to follow Jesus, and you've made Him your Savior. Then you can start working on, is He Lord of my life? Father, bless these moments and all that we do. We praise You for it. In Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would You come?